Wake up. Understand the times. Number 51 in the Gospel of Luke series. This is an exposition of Luke chapter 12, verses 54 through 59. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, March the 19th, 2017.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, again, this privilege of worship. And Lord, I pray that as we gather around your word, that you will open it to us. I pray for the ministry of your spirit to take the truth of your word and cause it to come alive in us, enabling us to be the people that you desire us to be. Father, as you speak, may we hear and may we heed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How do you respond to storms? Do they frighten you? Or do you just kind of blow them off? How do you respond when those sirens go off, announcing a tornado warning? Now, my grandmother had a plan. Whenever that siren went off, she got her lawn chair and she sat in the closet. I don't mean a big walk-in closet. I mean a closet that was just big enough for her to get in. And whenever that siren went off, or the news said, severe thunderstorm in your area, she grabbed her lawn chair, set it in the closet, and went and got her telephone. It was long before cell phones. It was even before cordless phones. It was a big black phone at the end of the hall that had a real long cable. And she carried that down and she set it in the closet. She grabbed a flashlight, her battery radio, her dog, and she sat in the closet. It's a good plan. It was in the middle of the house, no outside walls. She was safe. She was secure. She had a plan and she worked the plan. Now, what about me? Well, I used to be more cautious than I am now. There was a time that whenever those sirens went off, I became a Pentecostal. Help me, Jesus. I panicked. Not so much anymore. Now I'm on the other end of things. Now I'm one of those that I probably don't pay enough attention. What happened? Why the dramatic change? Well, I lived in a mobile home for 5.5 years. 5.5 years, I lived in a tin box attached to the earth with a couple of metal straps. So put me in a building with a foundation, I don't even break a sweat. I feel so secure. Probably too secure. Because that security may be an illusion. But I feel secure. Truth is, I might lay down in confidence and wake up in Oz. But in my mind, I don't have a thing to worry about. Besides, I've been through a couple of tornadoes. I know what it's like. Just use common sense. When the air turns kind of a greenish yellow, and the air is so still, it's just kind of spooky, and the hair stands up on your neck, find a hole, jump in, pull the hole in after you. It's simple. There is a world of difference between being secure and feeling secure. And many a man has suffered the consequence of a false security. I think that's what's behind our text today, found in Luke chapter 12. And we're going to begin at verse 54. Luke chapter 12, verse 54, and we're going to be looking down through verse 59. Keep in mind that Luke, the physician and traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, is writing to his friend Theophilus. He wants his friend to come to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, deliverer of the Jews, but he's also Savior of the world. The more immediate context is that he's been talking to folks about being foolish or being wise in the way that they live. In particular, in the way they live in light of the second coming. In living in light of the Lord's return. He's just had a reality check where he stopped to say, you know, you really need to decide where you are. You really need to understand what's going on. That you need to understand that I didn't come to bring peace to the earth, but fire. You need to understand that there is an inherent division within the gospel itself. And now he turns to the crowd and he basically says to them, you need to decide where you stand in light of these things. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 54. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? As you go with your accuser before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him along the way, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge hands you over to the officer and the officer puts you in prison. I tell you, you will never get out until you've paid the very last penny. As we work our way through this brief text, we're going to discover that surviving the troublesome storms of the last days demands that you be spiritually alert. Now, I'll be up front. Let's lay the cards on the table. Let me say right up front, I believe we're living in the last days. I'm absolutely confident of that. Of course, we've been living in the last days since Jesus got here. The last days began when Jesus came the first time. And they'll end when he comes again. How much longer is it going to be? I have no idea. But I know this. As the people of God, we are to live every day in light of his return. Amen. As the people who profess faith in Christ, as those who've been born again by the Spirit of God, those who name his name, we are to live every day before the face of God, anticipating the return of our Savior. That's what we find in the New Testament. They lived believing this might be it. I don't know how much longer it's going to be. It may be he comes before I finish this sermon this morning. And some of you are saying, Lord, I hope so. How do we live in light of his coming? We need to be alert. We need to be spiritually alert. Two essential characteristics of being spiritually alert in our text. First of all, in verse 54 down through verse 56, the spiritually alert accurately assess the times in which they live. The person who is spiritually alert understands what's going on. They understand what's happening in the world around them. They are awake. The word alert means to be watchful. It means to be quick to perceive. It's not being blind. To be alert is to be awake. To be awake and aware of what's happening. Now, note that our Lord begins this passage with a rebuke. The people of Judea, the people in and around Jerusalem and throughout Israel, they were weather wise. They knew that if the wind was gathering to the west, they knew that if it was out there gathering over the Mediterranean Sea, it was only a matter of time until it was going to rain. They lived there a long time. They knew that. Everybody was aware. Wind from the seas is going to bring rain. At the same time, they knew if it's coming out of the south, when it's kicking up from the south, coming up from the desert, it's going to be a scorching heat. Everybody knew that. They didn't need Doppler radar. They didn't need sophisticated instruments. They knew how to read the skies. They knew how to look at the world around them. They knew how to interpret what was going on. And so our Lord, having acknowledged that, rebukes them. Now, he's not rebuking them because they knew how to read the skies. He's not rebuking them because they were paying attention to what was happening with the weather. He rebukes them because they're not being alert spiritually. They're not using the same shrewdness that they use in understanding weather patterns to understand what's happening in the world around them. He says in verse 56, "You hypocrites." And what's so hypocritical about that? What's so hypocritical about not reading the times, of not being aware? He's saying you're hypocrites because you are not paying any attention to what's happening spiritually. You have no sense of this moment in history. The reason that's hypocritical is because these are the people of God. These have the advantage of the prophets, the Word of God, and the promises. And yet, in spite of this spiritual heritage, in spite of the great advantage that that is, that God has revealed Himself, that God has made Himself known, that God has given to them the Scripture, that God has said, here's what's going to come, they were not paying attention. They're oblivious to what's happening. And so our Lord says to them, you know the wind, but you don't know the Spirit. You know the skies, but you cannot see the heavens. You're weather wise, but you're spiritually foolish. Part of what it means to live in light of the Lord's return is that we are spiritually alert, and to be spiritually alert means we're aware of the times in which we live. That we have an understanding of what's going on in the world around us. That we have a sense of what God is doing in the world. The problem is, according to verse 56, you hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but you do not know how to interpret the present time, or this present time. You're unaware. You're not awake. You're not paying attention. So you have no idea of what's unfolding in your midst. You have no awareness that God's redemptive plan is unfolding. Now, to understand part of this, you need to back up to chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and yet did not see it. To hear what you hear and didn't hear it. You're blessed. You're in a blessed position. You're in a place where you have an awareness. You have been made known. You've had it revealed to you. And yet here you are completely unaware of what's happening. Again, he's indicting them because of their failure to apply the same shrewdness that they use for interpreting the weather to understanding who he is and what he's come to do. They could read the storm clouds. They understood blowing winds. But they were unable to detect the movement of God's Spirit bringing salvation to the world. They paid no attention to the moral and spiritual corruption around them. If they had just opened their eyes, if they had just paid attention to what was going on around them and considered that in light of the Scripture, considered that in light of what God had already revealed and made known. They've been with Him 2 years. 2 years He's been in their midst teaching and performing miracles. You would think that the sheer weight of His majesty, the sheer weight of His person would have clued them in. You would think these spiritually minded people, These people awakened by the presence and Spirit of God, you would think they could note that in Jesus there is something unique. You think that they could take note that there was an absence of pride and arrogance in this man. You would think that they could take note that this ethical conduct was absolutely beyond reproach, that there was no attitudinal sin in his life, that his words were like no other, his knowledge of Scripture, his wisdom unequaled. There was no one to compare him with. He was without sin. Now, you know that had to put him in a different category. You know that the sinless, perfect Son of God had to come across as completely different from anyone they had ever known. And yet, they're unaware. Oblivious to what's happening. You would think if they considered the history of their own people and their response to the messengers of God, that they would have noted something's going on. They knew their history. They knew that throughout the pages of the Old Testament, God would bring prophets, and those prophets would come speaking the message of God. They would come preaching righteousness and repentance. And what was the response of the people? They rejected the prophets and rejected their message. They knew Jesus spoke the truth of God. They knew Jesus was uniquely from God. They knew that the religious establishment rejected Jesus and rejected his message. Add to that his miracles. Israel as a nation was being put to the test. A line was being drawn. And the Lord Jesus says to them, how is it you can't figure this out? How is it? You who are able to say, it's going to rain. How is it you who say, scorching winds heading this way? You who are so gifted at understanding the weather and understanding the world around you, how is it you are so spiritually blind? Comes to a conclusion. You don't see because you don't want to see. You're unaware because you don't want to know what's going on around you. You are unwilling to see. The Jews of Jesus' day rejected their Messiah. They turned their back on God's gracious provision. They experienced the cross, and yet there was no repentance. And as a result, in 70 AD, the judgment of God fell on Jerusalem and destroyed the holy city as Gentiles trampled it underfoot. The wrath of God fell because of their failure to understand the time. Are we any different? Do we belong in a completely different category? Well, listen to the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. By the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Where is it? All this talk of Jesus and His return, where is He? It's no different. It's no different now than it's always been. It's a joke. There's no truth to it. It's nonsense. It's fairy tales. Refuse to see. Take an honest look around you. The difference between truth and error is becoming increasingly distinct. The line between light and darkness being ever more clear. Increasing numbers of folks are seeking to blur the line of distinction. But for those who know the truth, error is easily spotted. There's a growing hostility between light and darkness. There's a growing hostility toward orthodox belief. Hostility toward those who are confident in their belief and their faith. The fact of the matter is, Romans chapter 1 is being fulfilled every day before our eyes. Amen. The truth of God has been exchanged for a lie. And they worship the creation rather than the Creator. And that which was good, they call evil. And that which was evil, they call good. These are the times in which we live. Amen. And to be spiritually alert is to recognize that. Surviving the storm of the last days absolutely demands that you be spiritually alert. Because the night's coming. And opportunities will pass. To be spiritually alert is to accurately assess the times in which we're living. The times are evil. The times are corrupt. Amen. And the coming of the Lord is near. Amen. But that's only part of the equation. Let's consider the second part. The spiritually alert prepare now for the judgment to come. That's in verse 57 through 59. So you have to read Luke 12, 57 through 59 in light of the context. If you don't set it in the context, you'll miss the point. If you don't set it in the context that Jesus is talking about those who are foolish and those who are wise. If you don't set it in the context of Jesus saying, you better start living in light of eternity. You better start living each day, understanding I'm coming, and you be ready, you be prepared, you be working when I get there. If you don't read it in light of that, you'll miss the point. He uses a little parable about people on their way to court. And this is a clear call to get right with God. This passage is about repentance and faith. Look at it. And why do you not judge for yourself what is right? Why don't you understand the situation? Why is it you can't rightly judge the times in which you're living and what that means? As you go with your accuser, your adversary, before the magistrate, make an effort to settle with him on the way. Lest he drag you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officer and the officer puts you in prison. I tell you the truth, you'll stay in prison until you can pay off every last penny. The point is, you're on your way to court. And you are on the short end of the legal stick. In other words, you are guilty. You are going to lose. So if you've got any sense at all, before the day of judgment comes, settle out of court. The Lord Jesus is saying, understand the times in which we live. They're evil, they're wicked. The day of the Lord is approaching. And you better prepare before he arrives. Because if you're handed over to the judge, it's over. You'll remain in prison until you paid off your debt. By the way, the rest of Scripture makes it clear you'll never pay it off. It's an eternal debt. Settle along the way. The truth of the Scripture is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are sinful. All of us are corrupt. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation. Colossians 1 makes it clear. In our natural state, we are the enemy of God. Because according to Paul in Ephesians 2, we are dead in trespass and sin. Now, there are some that are very bothered by a passage like this because you're talking about God with this kind of language. If you're right, Pastor, in the way you're interpreting these verses, you've got God as an adversary. You've got God as the accuser. That's exactly what I'm saying. Amen. We use the language all the time, are you saved? Well, you've got to ask yourself a question. What do I need to be saved from? And the answer is not, I need to be saved from the devil. You need to be saved from God. Amen. Amen. A holy and just God who righteously punishes sin. That's the point of the gospel. Amen. The gospel is that we're all guilty before God. And as so, we are the object of his wrath. But God is merciful and gracious and loving. And so he took upon himself our sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. The wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus is pleading with that crowd that's gathered. Don't wait until it's too late. Prepare now for the judgment that is to come. Settle out of court. How do I settle? By acknowledging your sin. By acknowledging that you have sinned. That you have fallen short of the glory of God. That you are rightly the object of his judgment and wrath. Acknowledge that. Admit that. Confess that. And then trust in Christ and Christ alone. Throw yourself on the mercy of God in the person of the Lord Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And rather than the object of His righteous judgment, you become the trophy of His grace, and He'll lavish His grace upon you for all eternity. It's the wonder of the gospel. You need to be alert. You need to wake up. Understand the times. The time is short. The Lord is coming. Prepare now for that day by believing and trusting in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the beauty, the truth, and the wonder of your word. Lord, I'm grateful that you, a holy, righteous, sovereign, just God, you're also loving and merciful and gracious and kind. And so you took upon yourself our sin. You, in your own body on the cross, in the person of the Lord Jesus, bore our sin in payment for our rebellion. And then you gloriously offer life and peace to all who will trust in Christ and Christ alone. Lord, I pray that today you will open eyes and give faith. Lord, today I pray that there'll be those who understand their condition. Outside of Christ, under the judgment of God, and then see the beauty of Christ and flee to Him to live forevermore. Lord, cause this truth to come alive in us. Not just so that we will believe, not just so that we will trust in you, but so that when we look at the world around us, we see lost and hurting humanity. And we're driven, compelled to take the glorious good news of the gospel to our neighbor, our co-worker, our family, so that they too might live. Lord, do in us as you please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.